شباب. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity once again of continuing the Ramadan tafsir. In this Aminat Masjid, New York area in Boso, you call it New York, right? This Wednesday, 17th day of Ramadan, 1438 years. Huh? What is it? Oh, 19th. Okay, not 17th. I hope that when it is Safar, or when it is Rabi'ul Thani, if I ask you the date, if I call the date wrongly, you will correct me as quickly as you did today. It's only in Ramadan that people are conscious of... It's only in Ramadan that people are conscious of the Islamic calendar. Allah al-Musta'an. So I say 17th and you are quickly correcting 19. You are in a hurry to get out of Ramadan, right? Huh? Okay, today the 19th of Ramadan. 1438 years. After the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. Insha'Allah ta'ala, today as usual, we shall continue from where we stopped. We're reading Surah Al-Imran. And we have gotten up to the 144th verse in Surah Al-Imran. Am I correct? So insha'Allah ta'ala today, we shall start from the 145th verse of Al-Imran. We read in the 144th verse, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that verse is addressing the Sahaba. He's telling them that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is nothing else but a messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So being a messenger of Allah makes him a human being. Just like other prophets, there were prophets before him, and he is only a prophet like the others who are prophets. That makes him a human being. And every human being will die when it is time to die. We remember that. So if he dies, or naturally, as we say, or is killed in a battle. That's also natural because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that he dies so. So if he dies without being in a battle or he dies on the battlefield, will you now decide to backslide and say you no longer be Muslims because the Prophet is dead? Of course you shouldn't do that. Whoever does that, then that will not diminish the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anything. But Allah shall reward the grateful. Now this ayah is talking about death. We said that the sababun nuzul of this ayah was the fact that some people thought Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was dead. They started spreading the rumor that Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam had been killed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah to show that there is nothing strange in his being killed or his dying without being killed, because of course he will die all the same. So it is on this note that inshallah ta'ala we're going to read the next verse, which is still talking about death and the fact that death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else's hands. So Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ or وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Like our Qari just recited, the riwayah of verse, we say وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ كِتَابًا مُوَجَّلًا أَوْ مُؤَجَّلًا وَمَنْ يُرِدِ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَنْ يُرِدِ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ أَوْ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ أَوْ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا Verse will say, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ وَرَقَّقَ وَرْشٌ وَإِنْ وَقَبْلَهَا مُسَكَّنَةٌ يَاءٌ أَوْ الْكَسْرُ مُصَلَى وَرَقَّقَ وَرْشٌ كُلَّ رَائِنْ So if you're reciting with the riwayah of Warsh, if you get to this place, you do the tarqiq of the ra. So you don't say آخِرَةٌ, you say آخِرَةٌ. وَمَنْ يُرِدِ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ لَآخِرَةِ نُوتِهِ مِنْهَا You don't say نُوتِهِ مِنْهَا, you say نُوتِهِ مِنْهَا In the riwayah of Wars, in the riwayah of Hafs, وَمَنْ يُرِدِ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُوتِهِ مِنْهَا In the qira'ah of Hamza, you say وَمَنْ يُرِدِ You don't say وَمَنْ يُرِدِ وَمَنْ يُرِدِ If you are reciting with words, you say وَمَنْ يُرِدِ If you are reciting with the riwayah of Hafs, you say وَمَنْ يُرِدِ But if you are reciting with the qira'ah of Hamza, خَلَّاد وَخَلَف, say وَمَنْ يُرِدِ وَمَنْ يُرِدِ So you do not do the idgham of that. You recite it بغيري You don't do it with gunna, بغير gunna. You say وَمَنْ يُرِدِ وَمَنْ يُرِدِ There's idgham, but بغير gunna. So you say وَمَنْ يُرِدِ ثَوَابَ الْ Then there will be sucked. وَمَنْ يُرِدِ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وسن الشاكرين. Allah says وما كان لنفسه, and it is not possible, it's not possible for any life, أن تموت, or for any soul to die. It's not possible that any soul will depart this world إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anytime anybody dies, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the malakul al-maut. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتُ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, it is the angel of death who takes your life. That angel of death that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put over you, that when it is your time, he does not have to travel, he does not have to go around looking for you. That's why the Shia behaved like the Majus when they said that Jibril alayhi salam was sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to Ali, but that he made a mistake and went to Muhammad. When Allah sends an angel to you, he doesn't have to go around looking for you. He's already attached to you. You know the way the angels are. They do not need to look around for anything on earth, because the earth is not as big as their palms. Do you understand? If an angel were to come in its form, its heel would not be contained by the earth. You know the heel? Huh? The heel. Where is your heel? Ah. Ebamio. Where is your heel? Ah, you are also pointing at the same place. Huh? Where is your heel? You are also pointing at this place? No. Point at the correct place now. Huh? Uh-huh, Kutukpa. We call it Kutukpa. How do you call it? In your language. Here. Your heel, here. Huh? So we call it Kutukpa. So if an angel were to appear here in its real form, the whole world, this earth, would not contain their heel alone. So if you say there is a fairy tale amongst the Sufia, those ones that are in the Tariqa Tijaniya, Qadriya, they said that one day Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jailani, you know, he has nothing to do with what the Qadriya say about him. He was never part of that. He never taught any of the things that they're teaching their people. In the case of Tijani, that one is the one that brought about his all the lies that they tell against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But Sayyidina Abdul Qadir, he had nothing to do with it. These are all fabrications. Because he was a very good man. Now they say that one day he had a student that he liked, and he was just told one day that the angel of death had come and taken the life of his student. So Nana, he was walking and he met the angel with a bag in his hands. He said, "Where are you coming from?" He said, "I came and took some lives here and I'm going back." He said, "You have my student's soul in your bag. Better bring it out and return it to him, because I don't want him to die now." And he said, "But Allah sent me. And since Allah sent me, there's no way I can give you back that life. I have to take it to Allah. If Allah says I should bring it back, I will." So he got angry and seized the bag and then emptied the bag. So everybody that died that day was returned to life. Huh? Subhanallah. Only somebody who does not know the might of Allah can sit down and form this kind of nonsense. And you hear people say, "Allahu Akbar." Because they never sat down to teach people the deen. Therefore, when they come with stories that are the direct opposite of the message of the Quran, the people shout, "Allahu Akbar." How can you be saying Allahu Akbar when this statement you are saying Allahu Akbar for? The statement is falsifying the Quran. It's telling you that the Quran is telling lies because it is disagreeing with the Quran. How can a human being meet Malakul Maut and even challenge him? How is it possible? Do you know how Malakul Maut looks? Do you know what it looks like? How is it that Malakul Maut took the life of Sulaiman while he was busy holding a stick in his hands, and even those jinns and so on that were serving him did not know? The same Malakul Maut that Sidi Abdul Qadir will see and challenge and give him orders. He said, "Allah sent me." He said, "I say, give me that soul." He said, "No, I won't give you." He said, "Okay, I will take it by force." This is a big joke, you know. You're looking like something at something like an ant on the ground. You have to squat to be able to hear that thing. Yet the thing is snatching a bag from your hand. And you say that souls have been put in a bag. You know, these are fairy tales. And these are making people unbelievers. Because these tales will make people, will completely distract people's attention from the real story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. It's not possible for any soul to die except with the permission of Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is time for this person to die, then he sends the Malakul Maut and says, "Collect so and so's soul." You don't have to seek anybody's approval. If it was time for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to die, and he died without anybody challenging the Malakul Maut, if at the time that Qasim died, if at the time that Ibrahim died, Rasul alayhi salatu wa sallam was a prophet when Ibrahim died, and Ibrahim wept when Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam wept when Ibrahim died, his son. But he could not tell the Malakul Maut, "I want my son back." How can you come and say somebody else that's not as great as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will come and challenge the Malakul Maut and say, "Bring my son back"? Do you stop what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done? It means the person is not a Muslim. If Allah has decreed that this thing be like this, and he says, no, it must not be like that. But you say, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give glad tidings to the patient. Those whom when Allah afflicts them with an affliction, if they lose a life or any other thing, or maybe they lose their property and so on, what they say is, to Allah we belong, and to Him is our return. For those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send many, many, many uncountable salutations. And then Allah will bless them with His mercy. If they submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah takes your student and you say, no, I do not agree. You have to return his life. You didn't seek my permission. That means you're saying that Sayyidu Abdul Qadir is not amongst the patient. He is not amongst the persevering. You are insulting the man. You are not praising him. Isn't it? So Allah says, if anybody dies, if the person truly, truly dies, then it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that approved of his death. Allah said, it's time for so and so and so to die. Therefore, go and take their lives. At the time the command is given, the angel does not have to travel. He would kill abikum. He is with you already. So when it's time, he just takes the life. He doesn't have to travel to you. So you don't say, okay, let me run before he gets there. At least I want to die so and so time. There's no such thing. You don't have to go anywhere because you can't escape from him. He's already there. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants him, he's there. That's why it's possible for him to take a life now, here in this mosque, and take a life at this same time in Russia, take another life in Afghanistan, take another life. If 2 million people die a day, he alone takes their lives. And that's not too great for him. The way you understand it is, I want you to imagine that there are 2,000 ants here, or there are 2 million ants here. How many seconds will it take you to kill them? How many seconds? In a split second, they are dead if you want to kill them. You just put your foot like this and you know how many ants you kill? That's you, a human being. So imagine an angel. Some people think, how is it possible? The same time, the same person kills in this and this and that. Imagine that there are 100 people in a river. And then there is a heavy, 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 heavy shark. Very, very big one. I once saw a photograph in the Guinness Book of World Records. And they showed a shark. It's not just any shark. There are just a few that grow to that extent. The teeth were open like that. And the man was in the lower part of the shark's mouth. When he raised his hand, he was not up to 1/8 of the height. So how many men do you think it can swallow at a time? If you were to be cramped together and it was to bite, how many human beings do you think it can bite at the same time? It can crush many, very many at a time. These are small examples. When we talk about the angel, we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine the size of the angel. If we were to place you here on the shoulder, it will take you 70 years to travel to the earlobe of the angel from the shoulder. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? So you can imagine what the size would be compared to you. So مَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. It's not possible for any life to die except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to be that Allah has permitted that that soul be taken. That's the only time it can go. If Allah has not permitted, the life will not go, not leave this earth. أي بقضائه الله وقدره وقيل بعلمه. No life dies except with the knowledge of Allah. So it can be that Allah will say, oh, but I didn't know you where you went and took his life. It's not possible. It's not possible. He, Allah, sent the angel that went to that took the life. وقيل بأمره. It has to be with his command. It says, take this person's life and the man's life is taken. كِتَابًا مُؤَجَّلًا أي كُتِبَ لِكُلِّ نَفْسٍ أَجَلًا لَا يَقْدُرُ أَحَدٌ عَلَى تَغْيِيرِهِ وَتَأْخِيرِهِ. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for every soul, a period has been written. Nobody can do anything about that period. Nobody can change it. Nobody has the right to change it. Nobody can delay it. Do we understand? Nobody does not mean Allah cannot. Nobody amongst humans, no other person can change it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angel to blow life into you. And at the time he is sent, he will write four things about you. Isn't it? You know that hadith. He will write four things about you. So he knows those four things. One of them is the day you will die. Isn't it? He knows about your death. But that is the one he knows. There is an ilm before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which nobody shares with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one he has shared with human beings is different from the one he keeps to himself, which nobody knows. So it may tally with the one he has shown the angel, and he could agree that it'd be taken at that time. He could, subhanahu wa ta'ala, delay it until that time which nobody knows. So the time the angel knows, Allah can change that. That's why there are things you can do to elongate your life. One of them will be to take care of kinship ties. To always visit your uncles, your aunties, and so on and so forth. And never severe ties with them. This, insha'Allah ta'ala, will increase the number of days you have to spend on earth. Because that one that the angel wrote, Allah can change it with an ilm of his which the angel does not know. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a human being. He is not an angel. He is the creator of the humans. He is the creator of the angels. In everything, any branch of knowledge in which he has shared knowledge with either the angel or the human beings, in this case his prophets, he has the knowledge that they will never know concerning that same thing. That's why nobody knows everything. No matter what you know, it's small compared to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah has just given you a little of it. The same field in which Allah has given you a knowledge, Allah can reveal some other things which you never imagined and will never imagine in your life, because he just gave you a little of it. That's why all that these scientists are doing, they try and make a discovery. Tomorrow somebody discovers something better than theirs. And in fact, somebody comes and discovers that they even made a mistake in their own discovery, that there was something else. That's because, أَنُّ وَمَا أُوْتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Just very little what you've been given compared to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. You know, like the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, اللهم إني عبدك وابن عبدك وابن أمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاؤك أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك. There is one that you left in the ilm of ghaib that is with you. Nobody knows that except you. تبارك وتعالى. So that's how it is in everything. Therefore, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits, gives an order that that man's life be taken. It's not that the angel will say, okay, the time that I was shown when he was born, the time I was shown is time now, therefore I will go and take his life. No way. Allah will have to say, go and take his life. Either at the time you were told, you were shown, which was written, or at a time that Allah did not tell you. If it's just time, Allah will say, okay, now go and take his life. I hope we understand this. Now, so ما كان لنفس أن تموت إلا بإذن الله كتابا مؤجلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that, and nobody can change that. ومن يريد ثواب الدنيا نؤته منها. Right? Whoever wants the reward of this world, if you do anything and the reward you seek is only here, when you do a thing you want to be praised, you do somebody a favor, what you seek at the back of your mind is to be praised by human beings. If that's what you seek, نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا, we will give it to you. So people will praise you, but that will be all. مَنْ يُرِدْ بِطَاعَتِهِ الدُّنْيَا. If you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all you want is the life of this world, by obeying Allah, your reward, the reward you seek is only in this world. If that is it, then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that to you. Whatever it is Allah sees that you deserve in this world will be given to you, and that will be all. May we not be like this. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَا نُرِيدَ لِمَنْ نُرِيدَ. So whoever wants his reward here, as ajila, al-ajila is the one that comes quick, the one you get here on earth. Whoever wants his reward here, we will bring it to him very fast, speed it up for him so that he gets the reward here on earth. When you say the teacher's reward is in heaven, you mean that your own is on earth, isn't it? Fine. So you get your own here, and then you get the direct opposite over there. You get a knock on the head on the day of resurrection. So the teacher's reward is in heaven, so you deny him his salary here, and then he will go and get heaven. And maybe you think that when he gets heaven, you also will join him there. You know, that kind of statement is a mockery of the teaching profession. Because what you're saying is that here on earth, the teacher can forget it, he won't get anything. He will only go and get it in heaven. And then your children will suffer too. And when he doesn't get anything here, of course, he won't even learn well. So he will teach them nonsense. You know, he'll be teaching them tire, pure. He'll be teaching them nonsense here. You know, an English teacher comes to the class and says, I'm going to teach you English. He's going to cheat them, not teach them. Because he's not well rewarded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَ تَعَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدَ. So this ayah was revealed concerning the people of Uhud. This story we're still telling, of the people of Uhud who saw the things of this world and rushed to it. they rush towards it. Instead of waiting where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had commanded them to wait, they left the place and went to get the things of this world. So Allah says, whoever chooses the things of this world as his choice, Allah will leave those to him. After Allah had said that nobody will die until it is time for them to die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُرِدِ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. And whoever seeks the reward of the last day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then Allah will give him that reward which he seeks. So if with all your deeds, what you seek is the reward of the last day, you want Al-Jannah, you want Allah to be pleased with you, then that is what you get, insha'Allah ta'ala. So the most important aspect of your ibadah is, what are you seeking with the ibadah? When you worship Allah, what do you seek? Are you seeking the pleasure of men, or are you seeking the pleasure of Allah? If you are seeking Allah's pleasure, insha'Allah ta'ala, you will get it. If you are seeking man's pleasure, then that may be all that you get. Because it's not even all the time that you seek man's pleasure that you get it. Sometimes you do something to please men and they are not pleased. So both ways you lose. Man will not be pleased with you and Allah will not be pleased with you. Ya'adhan billah. But if you seek Allah's pleasure sincerely, insha'Allah ta'ala, you will obtain it. And here on earth, it is Allah that owns love. It is Allah that owns affection. He can make people to love you and there's nothing they can do. They don't have a choice but to love you. You see some people that are not even behaving well. They are irresponsible. But then people like them all the same. That's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah says people should like you, there's nothing they can do about you. No matter how ill-behaved you are, they just find themselves still liking you and forgiving all your mistakes. There are some people who have been convicted. They are declared criminals. Everybody knows they are criminals. They serve their term. They come out. And the whole town is at the airport waiting to receive them. Haven't you seen that? Yes. So who is responsible for that? There's nothing you can do about that. But then it's not always that it is so. So those who remained where Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam commanded them to remain, who were killed all the same because the others had disobeyed Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, since they sought the reward of the akhirah, Allah will give them the reward of that akhirah which they sought. Those who stayed with Abdullah ibn Jubayr until they were killed, those ones insha'Allah ta'ala will be rewarded with Al-Jannah bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. وَسَنَجِزِ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And verily we shall reward الشَّاكِرِينَ, that is الْمُطِعِينَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, those who obeyed the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, those who remained mu'minun and remained steadfast, insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah will reward them with what they sought, which is Al-Jannah. It's reported on the authority of Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qal, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, man kanat niyyatuhu talab al-akhirati ja'ala Allahu ghinahu fi qalbih. Whoever has the intention only of seeking the reward of the last day, whoever aims only at Al-Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will plant contentment in his heart. Contentment, his wealth, his blessings, everything. It will be in his being content on this world. So he is always calm, he is always satisfied with what life has to offer. He is not seeking that which is impossible to get. Is always a content person and very happy, no matter what condition he finds himself in. وَجَمَعَ لَهُ شَمْلَهُ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ. And the world will come to him, seeking him, while he is running from it. You know, the people who are not interested in the things of this world, they are the ones that the world runs after. But the ones who run after this world, the world is running away from them and they are running after it until they fall into the ocean without realizing, and they will never catch the world. The person who is materialistic is always seeking the world no matter how much he gets. So much so that he does not even realize that he has enough. He leaves what he has and he is pursuing the one that he will never have. So he will die pursuing money. You know, look at them everywhere. They forget their mothers, they forget their fathers, they forget their wives. They travel to England with their wives, and then there is a deal in Russia. They rush to the airport. They have passports that can take them everywhere in the world. They have visas everywhere. Before you know it, they get the visa, they're going to Russia, there's money to be made, from there they go to Germany, from there they fly to Afghanistan, and so on and so forth, and then they come back to Nigeria. And people say, oh, yo, 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 but you went to their wife. Where is their wife? Say, ah, say, what happened? I forgot her in the hotel room. They're pursuing money, 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 money. So Allah says, whoever seeks the Akhirah, Allah will make him content. He will not get so mad about the world. He will take things easy. The world will be pursuing them and they will be running from it. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ نِيَتُهُ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْفَقْرَ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Whoever is more concerned about the dunya, all that you seek is the life of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will print poverty before your eyes. So here all you will see will be poverty, poverty. That is what you are afraid of every time. That's what you're running from and that is what is ahead of you. So all you see is poverty, poverty. You're always living in fear. You know, rich men sleep with one eye. The other one is open. There's always insecurity written before them. But that is poor men who are seen to be rich. But the real rich men can sleep by the roadside here. You know that? They can just spread a mat here and sleep. They don't care about anybody. They don't see any insecurity. They don't even think of it. They are so calm. They are content. Just look at. There is an atheist, somebody who does not even believe in Allah, who was the president of Uruguay. Is he still the president? At the time, he was said to be the poorest president in the world. I think he used to take just 1/10 of his salary. The rest he gave to the poor, gave as charity. So he used to take only 1/9 or so. I can't remember the fraction. So that in earning, he was the poorest president in the world. But in reality, he was the happiest president in the world. You would see him in his tractor on the farm. Tractor president. Driving his tractor on the farm, on the farming. In the farm. President. No security man, no dog, nothing. No SS. You go to his house, you just interview him. You see his house, you see the drawers in which his bookshelf. You see about 20 books or so on the bookshelf. You look at the place, the kitchen is like that of a an FUT student. Looking scanty. He was interviewed by Al Jazeera. And wallahi, while I was watching his interview, I was weeping. I was watching it in Mecca. In Mecca, I was watching his interview. And I was weeping. You know why I was weeping? I said, Subhanallah, this is an atheist. He doesn't believe in Allah at all. This is what Muslim presidents should be teaching the world. It's supposed to be Muslim presidents in all the Muslim countries in the world that are supposed to live like this. This is how the Prophet lived, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how Umar bin Khattab lived. This is how Abu Bakr as-Siddiq lived. But look, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, this is how he lived. This is how Muslim leaders should live. But you know, common principle today, government secondary school principal or government technical college or whatever, secondary school, you go to a principal's office, sometimes you have to wait for 1.5 hours before you see the person. I remember I had one principal in 1987. How many of you were born there? When I was a teacher, I went to see the principal, and there was a girl who was a typist then. She asked me in, said I should go and see the principal, he's there. And when I entered, he was shouting. He was shouting to that PA, say, how can you just let just anybody enter my office like that? I'm sitting with a contractor, I'm discussing with the contractor, and the people will just be entering my office anyhow. Why? It was barking like a dog. I left the office and went away. So later he was told that, sir, that is our math teacher. Math teacher that we are looking for, please go and bring him. Go and bring him. I'm very sorry. I didn't know he was a math teacher. In the whole school, about 5,000 students, there were no math teachers. So they were getting economics teachers to teach mathematics and all that. And then a math teacher was brought and you sent him out. Principal, just principal. What do you expect governors to do? How can just anybody come into his office like that? He should have waited in the reception until he asked him to come. Principal, secondary school principal. So if somebody is a senator and you cannot see him for 2 years, you'll be insulting him. These senators, this and that. But principals are doing the same thing. SubhanAllah. So, you know, I was watching that president and I was weeping. Lie, I wept. I said, look at. And the man was saying, what do I need all this comfort for? You want me to have this, to have that, to have this, to have that? You want me to behave like the American and eat as if I will die that day? Say, I will not do that. He said, American. Say, you want me to behave like the American and be eating like a pig? Say, I will not do that. I will just take only that which I need. Non-Muslim. SubhanAllah. Non-Muslim. Atheist. He doesn't believe in Allah at all. Doesn't believe in Christianity, Judaism, Islam, anything. He thinks it's rubbish. But he thinks that is how he should live life. And somehow he's becoming a role model even to Muslims. I was ashamed that a non-Muslim is the one teaching us that. Even I was ashamed of myself. Because I looked at him, I looked at myself, I am even nothing. I am nothing, I have nothing, I have nobody. But wallahi, comparing myself to him, I began to think I am arrogant. If a whole president would think like that. I don't think if I were the president, I would be that simple. And you know, that is unfortunate. So Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you know, somehow that president was the most secure president in the world. Because nobody was after his, in fact, you just walk like any okrika man on the street, nobody cares. No, you see him in the midst of people, shaking people's hands. He wears the kind of shirt you wear. You know, There's something I saw in Saudiya that I'll never forget. There's a billionaire in Saudiya. Billionaire. It's a very rich man. The houses that he has, that people rent, Nigerians rent, there are so many. One of them, if you were to sell it in Nigeria, would be up to about a trillion naira. The properties he has are no jokes. You know, you see a property, you see a story building about 25 stories, exquisitely furnished. And each story has the rooms that you can't even imagine. Facilities everywhere, you know, ACs, all these things. There are about 25 stories. This is one out of probably up to about 80 that he has. So many everywhere. And then that person, somebody said, I think they said he was looking for me or something. I went to see him, and he was sitting by the roadside on a chair. And laborers were passing, and they were just saying, Assalamu alaikum. They say, Wa alaikum assalam. Kaif halak? And then they are just moving. Laborers. Nobody cares about him. It's not here where you see people lying down. Baba. You know, I just pray that the time will come when we'll be like that here. Life is even better for you when you live like that. Nobody cares about you. You know, such a time that people will be more interested in better things than just trivial things, things that do not matter at all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ نِيَتُهُ طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَنْ كَانَتْ نِيَتُهُ طَلَبُ الدُّنْيَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْفَقْرَ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ وَشَتَّتَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرًا. And life will be so difficult for him. If this world alone is your aim, wallahi, you'll be so uncomfortable. You make money that you never enjoy. See the way most of these people end. They're in prison. To come out, the SS will have to go around the town and look everywhere and comb places and probably even kill some people and so on to make way for them to come out. And when they are out, they're in tinted glasses. You don't know which vehicle they are in. You see about six vehicles looking the same, all with red flags and all that. You don't know which one he is in. And they are all tinted, and they are all bulletproof. And then the glasses are always up all the time. And there are people surrounding them. There is the orderly, there is the MA, there is the ADC, there is the TDC, there is the PBO, there is the, everywhere there are people around him. Yet when he comes out, he's squatting, he doesn't want you to see him. He's hiding. So what comfort is in that? There's no comfort in that. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was the leader of the Muslim world at the time. But he was sitting with people and eating with them. It was reported that he once sat with a leper and he caught his hand and put it there and said, Tawakkal to Allah, eat, no problem. There's nothing will happen. We eat together, nothing will happen. He goes to poor people, he takes dates, he opens it, there is maggot in the date. He will clear the maggot and eat the date. The leader of the whole Muslim world, the best man that Allah ever created, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how we should live. You know, that is how we should live. He used to sit on the ground. كَانَ يَأْكُلُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. To sit on the ground, not floor, ground. On the ground, on earth. With his white clothes, they would get red. He would sit there with the poor people and eat. Eat with them, discuss with them, go away. You know, just walk away. You go to his house, there is nobody guarding the house. That woman that went to see him, they say she didn't see, she says she didn't see any bawab. There was nobody protecting him. He was just like that. So as a woman, she could just get into the house. So wala ya'tihi minha illa ma kataba Allahu la. And wallahi, nothing will come to you of this world except that which Allah has written. So you don't get desperate over the things of this world. You don't get desperate over anything of this world. It will come at its time, and its time is the best time. If it's not yet time for it, it will never come to you. So just take life easy, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that alone is preventive medicine. Because if you're like that, inshallah, you will never be hypertensive. You will never be hypertensive. I remember that once, as usual, most of the time, I'm always having this very constant headache. I hope that that will be what Allah will use to erase all the sins that I commit. And you too. Okay, when I didn't say you too, you didn't answer. I'm very selfish, you know. So, I went to the hospital and the doctor said, have you checked your BP? I said, no, I hardly have need to check it. So let's check it. So when he checked it, he said, you want to go back to 20-something years? I said, what happened? He said, this year BP is wonderful. It doesn't fit your age. I said, alhamdulillah. I'm sure it's the Quran. I'm sure it's the little sunnah that I know. I don't worry about anything. When it's hot, I even sleep outside. I don't have anything to protect. So I'm just free, I'm happy, and maybe that's why. I'm not used to this life of the shuyukh when even your shoes will have to be taken for you, even your teeth will have to be brushed for you. I've seen a friend of mine who is now a sheikh of Tijaniya. I saw him with my eyes. We grew up together. The man is something else now. And then people are washing his feet. He was going to perform ablution. His boys were performing ablution for him. La ilaha illallah. And I looked at him and said, what is this? What is this? They were performing ablution for him. He was sitting there. He said, Shell, Shell. When you get so arrogant like that, where is the simplicity that the Prophet taught? Where is it? Allah forgive us. Questions? How many more minutes do we have? We run out of time. Huh? Which can 13 again? Huh? How many minutes do you reserve for questions? 30 minutes? And you still have 13. There's ojoro in this year, timekeeping. Serious ojoro in this year, timekeeping. Maybe I'll change timekeeper. This one says, may Allah increase me in iman and save me for the deen. Ameen. And you too. How true is this hadith? He who begets a son and names him Muhammad for the sake of blessing, both he and his son will be in Al-Jannah. Allah, I don't know. Where did you get the hadith? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where did you get the hadith? Please send the book to me. Let me see. But I have never seen the hadith. I don't know it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I don't know the authenticity of the hadith. If you know, please let me know. This one says, is it permissible to curse a jinn who has been disturbing someone for the past 4 years now? Despite what? What is this? Is it nigger or what? Huh? What is this? This white Maya or what? It's red. Oh, Rukia. Despite the fact that Rukia is recited on the person and the jinn refused to go. Is it permissible to curse? I have seen some people do that. They curse the jinn and so on and ask Allah to burn him. I don't know exactly where they got that from. But I know that it is permissible sometimes in the Sharia if somebody's atrocities go beyond limits, that you say, may Allah curse him. Once in a while, ulama do that. Because he's already cursed. He has done the thing that only cursed people do. But it's not very advisable to be cursing. It's better to be praying. To be praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can supplicate to Allah to do his will on that sick person and save him from this jinn, even if he refuses to go. But it's not advisable to keep cursing, because you are hoping that they will embrace Islam and have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't get used to cursing. This one says, may Allah continue to increase me in good health and iman. Ameen. When performing ablution, it happens that you continue to fast. Will one continue the ablution from the position he farted, or start the ablution afresh? This is tasalsul rih. If you have that problem of incontinence, whether it has to do with farting the air or stooling, or whatever it is, the ruling is that if you perform ablution, that ablution is valid until you have used it for salah. Once you use it for salah, the ablution is invalid until you perform another ablution. You understand? So you can use it for one salah. If you are performing ablution and you keep farting, forget it. Ignore that. That may be from the shaitan. Continue with the ablution. After your salah, if you fart again, whether you don't fart again, after the salah, if you continue to fart after the salah, you cannot perform another salah after that one salah until you have performed ablution again. Do you understand? But keep ignoring that, because it may be from the shaitan, or it may be a disease which you need to take care of by obtaining treatment from the hospital. Probably you are constipated or something, you have diarrhea or something, you go and treat the problem. But before then, since it is now an incontinence, then you don't have to be repeating the ablution each time you fart the air. I hope you understand that. Now, what should be done when one close to him slept in the last sujood and the imam is about to say the taslim? If he slept, his ablution is invalid, is nullified. Therefore, if you wake him, it will be for him to go and perform another ablution. But if he has already slept, do not disrupt your own salah, because it may affect your own salah again. So just you are in the last tashahud, wait after the taslima, wake him and ask him to go and perform another ablution, so that he comes and performs another salah. Because once he has slept, then he has lost that ablution. This one says, can one play games with his wives? Ludo, what, dice, etc. I don't see anything wrong with those games, as long as they do not distract your attention from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like chess can even maybe educate you a little on warfare and so on. And Scrabble can increase your knowledge of English language and games like that. So once in a while, if it does not become habitual, if it does not distract your attention from the Quran, if it does not disrupt your concentration on Hajj and so on, just once in a long while, especially with your wife, I don't see anything wrong with it. There's nothing in the Sharia that I know prevents one from doing that. But then it shouldn't be habitual. You should use most of your spare time to memorize the Quran. We have little time for jokes and play and all that. But then once in a while, yes, there's nothing wrong with whiling away, you know, trying to unwind. There's nothing wrong with it. It's encouraged, in fact, that you play with your wife especially. It's encouraged. This one says, what is the wisdom behind someone that sticks to a particular madhab in every matter? It depends on their knowledge, the extent of their knowledge. There are some people that are not capable of deciphering between the right and wrong. For such people, if they have one imam that they trust, who has a good aqidah and so on, he gives them fatwa, they use his fatwa, there's nothing wrong with that. So Al-Imam Malik is a very good imam, very, very good. He's one of the Salaf al-Saleh, and he was a very knowledgeable person and a very pious person. So if you stick to his madhab because you haven't gotten to such a level that you know other ahadith that may go contrary to his madhab, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you can, or if you have heard ahadith that have gone against his own ruling, and you now take his ruling and leave those ahadith, you are in big soup. Huh? So better be careful. Once you know authentic ahadith, which do not agree with his ruling, and then you have not heard any explanation that is capable of overriding that hadith, or the import of the hadith that you got, then please stick to the hadith and leave his ruling. Because that is what he says. Abu Hanifa also says that. Al-Imam Shafi'i also says that. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal also says that. If I say a word and it goes against the hadith and you take my word, I shall have nothing to do with you. So you leave my word and take the hadith. Allah, sorry, I am supposed to apologize. I forgot to. You know, throughout this Ramadan, actually, I have not been well. So even the days that I've been coming unwell. I've just been trying to hide it or something. So anytime it recurs and you see that you don't see me, then it's probably that I've been overpowered by the illness and I had to stay at home. Yesterday it was the same thing. I could not attend any of the tafasir attend every day because of my condition. So it's not deliberate. I hope you don't mind the fact that you left your homes and came here and did not see me. I hope you weren't too disappointed. That is what happened. It's illness. It's not that I just failed to come. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all these little trials we'll go through the kafara that we need. Inshallah. Allahumma qasim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asyatik wa min ta'atika ma tuballighuna biha jannatak ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا متعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عدانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته